To our next argument, United States v. Baker. Mrs. Crawford.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Jack Crawford. I'm a lawyer from Indianapolis, Indiana. I am retained counsel for purposes of this appeal on behalf of the defendant appellant Gary Baker. I was not the trial counsel. Mr. Baker raises one issue in his appeal, and that is the sufficiency of the evidence to support his conviction for conspiracy to distribute methamphetamine. It is our position, Your Honor, that indeed the government proved that Gary Baker was a drug dealer. There's no question about that. He was selling pounds of methamphetamine to one person, James Taylor, in the Southern District of Indiana from 2010 to 2011. He had no contact with Mr. Taylor's distribution network.
Didn't he meet one of the of Taylor's customers once?
I don't know if he met him. He was present, I believe, at one time when Taylor delivered methamphetamine to one of the customers. Yes, Your Honor. But I don't believe any of Taylor's customers said they had a knowledge or working relationship or had even been introduced to Gary Baker.
And he knew their names, though, didn't he? He knew some.
No, he did not, Judge. And I noticed that the government implies in their brief that Mr. Baker knew the names of Mr. Taylor's customers. I cite the court to page 384 of the transcript of the trial, and I was concerned about this also, and the interview between the federal agent and Mr. Baker, when Mr. Baker was cooperating, he said to the federal agent that James Taylor was distributing the methamphetamine to a member of the Sons of Silence out of the Terre Haute chapter, to a member of the Sons of Silence out of the Illinois chapter, to a member of the Vigilantes Motorcycle Club, and also to a female by the name of Beth. He knew no names. There was no contact between Baker and Taylor's customers. As the court well knows, the distinction between a buyer-seller agreement and a mere conspiracy.
You know, he did tell him about these customers.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
He did give Baker information about the customers.
He did, Your Honor. But
why would he do that?
I suppose there was some mutual relationship between Taylor and Baker. They had known each other for about a year. They would converse somewhat minimally on the telephone and in person about what Taylor was doing with Baker's methamphetamine, but it certainly wasn't the kind of relationship that would show the underlying agreement, which is critical in this kind of distinction, the underlying agreement to distribute the methamphetamine.
Well, Taylor must have thought that it was important to Baker to know something about his customers.
Possibly, Judge, so that Baker would have more confidence that Taylor knew what the heck he was doing in distributing the drugs. That's possible. But we don't see the criteria of a conspiracy to distribute drugs here, as cited in the case law. We don't see encouragement by Baker to Taylor to acquire more customers. We don't see Baker giving advice to Taylor about how to distribute. We don't see Baker, of course, giving any commissions to Taylor upon his sales. We do see fronting. Indeed, we must concede there was fronting. Almost all the methamphetamine was fronted to Taylor by Mr. Baker. So there was fronting. But fronting in and of itself is not enough. The fact that you're buying a lot of products, a lot of widgets from the widget company, and they sell it to you on credit doesn't mean...
The difference is in an illegal business, you can't enforce, a contract to reimburse you for your loan to the retailer, right? So it requires trust.
It requires some element of trust, yes, Judge. But is that alone enough to imply the agreement to distribute? It didn't make any difference to Baker that where the methamphetamine was going through Taylor's hands.
Well, no, not necessarily. He has to worry about being able to collect from Taylor, so he may want to know, who his customers are, whether this is a solid enterprise.
But, Your Honors, I feel that the evidence in this case doesn't rise to that level to show that implicit agreement between Baker and Taylor, that this is how the drugs were going to be distributed.
But there's also James Baker, right? Isn't he running money back and forth, running money back from Michigan and holding money, things of that nature?
Yes, Your Honor.
He's alleged in the indictment to be a co-conspirator.
In an unusual case, as Your Honor knows from federal district court work, the son of Gary Baker testified against his father in this case. And he was a runner of money up to Michigan to pick up the methamphetamine from Carlos. But I don't think the record supports that James Baker, the son, knew very much about the enterprise at all, just that he was driving money up for drug proceeds.
Is that enough for conspiracy?
Once again, Judge, I don't think...
Why is all the emphasis on Taylor? Why not on, as Judge Tinder was asking?
That was the government's emphasis throughout the trial. And I know just because they stressed that throughout the trial, any indicia of a conspiracy is enough to prove it. But I don't think that James Baker, the son, knew anything about the distribution methods of James Taylor and was involved in an agreement to distribute it. My time has expired, Judge. We ask the court to vacate the conviction against Gary Baker for distribution of methamphetamine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Crawford. Mr. Blackington?
Good morning. Brad Blackington representing the United States. I think that with a drug conspiracy, we don't need to prove that a particular defendant knew everybody in the distribution chain and all the ins and outs and all the methods that everybody in the distribution chain was using to sell drugs. We only need to show an agreement to distribute controlled substances. And in this case, we established that agreement in two ways. The first is the fronting of distribution quantities of methamphetamine, pound quantities, at least once per week for more than a year. Under cases such as Johnson, fronting as strong circumstantial evidence of conspiracy, certainly repeated fronting. And in the Moreland contract, this court analyzed conspiracy from sort of a different perspective than some of the other cases. It looked at a relational contract, and the court indicated that the repeated fronting of distribution quantities meth that was too much for personal use would establish a conspiracy under a relational contract. So the repeated fronting of distribution quantities shows a conspiracy.
Did Gary Baker meet any of Taylor's clients or customers?
He saw one of them coming to... But as far as a formal introduction, hi, my name's this is Joe Smith. He sells drugs for me. No,
right. And Taylor sold to certain drug gang, bike gangs, but not others. Or
he sold to about four different people who are members of different motorcycle clubs.
Is there any sort of rivalry among those clubs that if you sell to the Sons of Silence, you don't sell to the Hells Angels or vice versa?
That particular one, no. In Indianapolis, there's a line between the Sons of Silence and the Outlaws that runs right down Meridian Street. But some of the other lower, I just indicted some of the Outlaws, so I know that. But as far as some of the other gangs, there's kind of a coexistence that goes on.
Are they considered good customers? Are motorcycle gangs considered good customers for meth?
I suppose they have the same flaws and qualities of other drug dealers, Your Honor, but it does seem to be a pattern with the motorcycle gangs.
Are motorcycle gangs, are they criminal or are they...
Some are, some aren't.
Rowdy or what?
Some are, some aren't, Your Honor. That's right.
You could have actually a a motorcycle gang was not engaged in criminal behavior, but they wanted the drugs. I mean, you know, they wanted to.
They're not involved in a conspiracy, but they're users, maybe. It's like anything else. The second way we showed a conspiracy in the case was those types of conversations that Taylor and Baker had, where James Taylor told Baker that he had customers that wanted to buy the drugs, and Baker then sold the drugs, delivered the drugs to Taylor. So I think the conspiracy could be proven in absence of the fronting agreements as well, much like the relationships.
So Taylor would call Baker and say, I've got some people that want to buy drugs. Can you give me some? Can you sell me some?
Yes, and on many occasions that's how the conversations would occur. In some occasions it's just, I need a pound of meth. But I think that even without the fronting, that those conversations, hey, I have someone who wants to buy the drugs and he delivers them, can establish a conspiracy. And I cited the Femi Johnson case, the Rock case, and, of course, the Lechuga case, the relationship that Lechuga and Pagan had that saved the day for the government. In that case was the same type of relationship where Pagan was telling Lechuga that he had customers who wanted to buy cocaine, I think it was, and that was found sufficient to be a conspiracy. And so I think either way we showed the conspiracy here, and the court is certainly correct too. If we wanted to go down the line, we could look at James Baker running the drug proceeds to Michigan to Gary Baker's source. We could prove it that way. I thought the most clear-cut co-conspiratorial relationship here, though, was between Baker and Taylor, so that's what I focused on in my brief. I see that my time's up. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blankington. Mr. Crawford, do you have anything further?
Your Honors, I would just comment in rebuttal that some of the cases cited by the government, Femi Johnson, Rhea, and Lechuga, the seller was much more closely and actively involved in the actual sales through the buyer to the ultimate customers. In Femi Johnson, I believe the seller was actually present for some of the deals. So his involvement, I think, indicated a great deal more closeness between seller and buyer that would change it from buyer-seller relationship into a conspiracy in those cases. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crawford. Mr. Blackington.